just think everyone just... actually should have a bidet. Yeah. I'm okay with this being on there because that's how passionate I am about it. Like, wow.
She's a bidet evangelist.
Like, we're on our second one in here, and we have another one we need to put in the kids' bathroom.
You wore one out?
And then.
That's what I was about to say.
Yes! Well, I mean, not just me.
Okay.
I mean, even like sometimes my friend's kids will like come in here to use the bidet. Like, they'll come into our bathroom, which is in our bedroom, to use our bathroom so they can use a bidet. So it's
like a
life-changing
focal point to the house.
This is it's really a conversational piece. Welcome back to the Ministry Without Hating It podcast, a ministry of Odyssey Haven coaching and counseling dedicated to the pursuit of answering the question, is it possible to do ministry without hating it? We have a theory that it just might be. Guys, I just realized I said possible in the most Midwestern accent I've ever had in my life.
Yeah,
I did notice that.
I don't know what's happening. I've noticed that my wife, since we've moved to Iowa, I feel like, and she's from Indianapolis, so she says, I'm already Midwest. I'm like, nah, I think it got cranked up when we moved here. Not to put anybody on blast, anything like that.
You should come to Northern Wisconsin. Yeah.
Well, then that's a whole different.
We're our own
you betcha.
Language. You betcha. That's you yeah, perceive. Just shows that you're not from here.
You're right. I'm from the desert. So I'm still a transplant. Never forget. Hey, I'm here. Dustin's here. Brenton's here. How are you guys doing?
Yeah.
I'm here.
We're good. This early morning recording, some fun scheduling. But as everyone is about to hear, worthwhile 100%. We just had a great fun conversation with Pastor Susie Jenin. Man, just really very vulnerable, but also a lot of fun along the way. And it's one of the things I've always appreciated about Susie. Is she can be real, but also she doesn't take herself too seriously. And she's definitely growing within that. And so,
yeah.
I don't know. You guys agree? Great episode.
Yeah, super good. Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, so we are excited to let you guys hear this. And so we're just going to go ahead and jump right into it without all the silliness, because there's plenty to be had as the episode continues. So we hope that you enjoy our interview, our conversation with our friend, Susie Jenin. Well, Susie Jenin, welcome to the Ministry Without Hating It podcast. We got a nice 8 a.m. recording time with you. Thanks for meeting us early in the morning.
Of course. Of course. I mean, what else was I going to do? You guys said 10 to 8 a.m. I didn't have a choice.
Well, that's kind of not true. I mean, we did have sort of.
Okay. I mean, like, the days didn't work. The day that worked.
Yes, we bounced around a lot. It's fine. We made this happen.
For being flexible.
Oh no! Thank you for you. Thank you for you.
Thank you for you.
We're just. This is 8 a.m. Everybody.
It is.
All right, I'm going to jump in.
Not enough this coffee
is,
yet?
No, definitely not. It is still kicking in for sure. So, Susie, we like to start off with questions that have nothing to do with ministry, but feel like they need to be asked anyways. So you have corrected me many times in my life on my style choices, which is all speaking the truth in love. Yes, and it's fine. So I'm curious.
No, I have not, Chad.
Oh, I can think of one in particular right now.
He's
if you'd like.
Score.
It was the sandals with jeans. It was the closed toed, and I don't know why I had them, but between you and another mutual friend of ours, there was quite an intervention that took place.
Yes, because no man should ever be wearing sandals with jeans.
Well,
because the next step is sandals with socks. Yeah. And like, you're younger than me, Chad. So like, we're not in that era yet.
I don't know about younger. But...
Sandals with socks is like, have you been to the high school? Like, that's all those dudes wear.
Okay, no, they wear Birks and socks.
Or slides.
Yeah, that's true.
He was not wearing... No, or slides.
They were not slides or Birks. She's right. They were closed. They were like closed-toed.
Oh, they were like the old man's hands.
They were like they were like Spartacus.
I agree with you then.
Spartacus style.
Now I'm on your side, Susie. Okay.
With jeans. Sorry. Like, let's not finish like
Chad.
Can we get to the question? My goodness. Oh, sorry. Good grief. What's the worst style choice that you've ever made then?
Well, you mentioned our mutual friend, which I'm just going to, like, it's probably our friend Shane.
Yes.
Likely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because 85% of the time, if I like something, I know he's not going to like it. That's kind of like if I go somewhere and he's helped style me for a few things or we've been in like together. And mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. he will say often like, is that what we're going with?
And so all of us know him, so we're all hearing his voice. So that's fantastic. Yes,
because it's kind of the look too. I love and appreciate Shane, so I've never been offended by it. And I've never changed either from it. It's like, yes, I'm wearing that. So I mean, maybe I've worn things that are not people wouldn't agree with. Something that I actually do though with our boys is if I'm unsure about something, because there are times I'm getting dressed and I'm sure like. Either where I'm going or like just how it looks. I actually ask my boys for their opinion because I want them to get comfortable with giving a woman feedback on how something looks or doesn't look. And so I will go in and one of my boys is always very sweet and kind about it. He's just like, yeah, you look great, Mom. And then the other one, he'll tend to be like, no or yes. So that's kind of like my built-in system. And then I have a teenage daughter. And that's more than anything, the one who's like, she too will say like, oh, you're going with that. It's kind of like this question.
The upward inflection is the best part. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, you're going with that. Or sometimes it's kind of the look because she has a full length mirror in her room. So I'll go in and there in the morning and stuff. So yeah, I'm sure people don't agree with what I wear, but I still do it anyways. And I know if I really like it, the likelihood there's always a thought in my mind like, oh, I bet Shane wouldn't like this. It's just kind of like
so basically, your answer is I have enough built-in barriers and boundaries and accountability partners that I don't ever make a bad fashion style choice.
Yeah. Well, you know, on Christmas Eve, I wore this dress. It was just like a cream colored dress. And everyone was like, hey, Princess Leia. And I was like, what are you talking about? And it was like, oh, I guess it does. So I'm sure I have made plenty of mistakes. Just none that I can remember, like jeans with sandals.
Okay. All right. Good.
That was a mistake.
It was a mistake. And it was over a decade ago now, so it has not been repeated.
You still held on to it. So
I held on to the wound of I was walking around like this and my friends didn't say something sooner. So it's fine.
Well, you had probably a whole slew of friends who didn't say something
sooner. And that's who I'm talking about. And you know who you are.
So a decade ago, I barely knew you.
It's not you. That's exactly.
FYI.
Same with Dustin. So, and for sure, AJ.
But all even right. if I barely knew you, I probably would have said something, Chad. Like,
Now that's not wrong.
I would have probably said something about you, but probably not to you.
This is great. I feel like this is a revelation.
I've been preparing for this, Chad. I've been preparing for this.
Okay, then if you could instantly become an expert in something, what would that be?
Oh, I like a phenomenal cook and baker.
Okay.
I'm getting there. I just love to feed people.
Okay.
And so I feel like there is so much to be learned. So that would be my expertise, would be able to just like be an expert like chef and baker, like both. Yeah. Because I feel like I excel in times in one or the other. But if I can just be an expert, then I always know what tastes good. And so.
And it would enhancing your hospitality as well that you guys. Yeah.
I
so
love
well
feeding
well.
People.
Yeah.
It is like in my nature to feed somebody. And that's like my number one way to say like, hey, I love you. I appreciate you. I see you is by like baking and cooking. So when even like my daughter was like, hey, my friend's dad wants to know how to make this rice. And I'm like, yeah, he doesn't have a special ingredient because it's my love that makes this taste even better. But I seriously, like if I think like they're going to love something, I just get so excited. And then I know when it's just like, I'm just trying to pull something together. So I'd be an expert cook and baker.
Okay, good. Love it.
I'm too like what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not focused to be a good decorator. So, like, all of that would be encompassed in that.
Okay. Interesting. So then if your life was a TV show, what genre would it be? And here's the bonus. What's it called?
I am absolutely the worst at naming things. So I don't know. There is no, I don't get the bonus question. I was listening to your podcast with Robbie.
Oh, okay.
And he was talking about the dramedy. And but, like, I was trying to think of like the opposite, because my life is more like comedy, but then like there's drama in it versus like drama being the focus.
Okay.
So I just feel like I can never take, like, just when I think.
So it's like a Scrubs.
I've never seen Scrubs.
Oh, okay, great. Keep going.
So
me neither.
Stop it.
I was just going to share, like, there was an incident recently. This isn't even something I should laugh about, but I'm going to laugh about it. So this, okay, just bear with me.
Great.
So my neighbor passed away.
Hilarious.
No, that's not to know. So I was kind of, I offered to let our neighbors know that that had happened, just to help my other neighbor. So much is going on. And like in the midst of everything, I called the wrong person. So I was like, hi, like, hey, like my, I thought it was my neighbor. Hey, so-and-so, like, this is Susie. And they're like, hi, I'm like, I'm just calling to let you know that our neighbor passed away. And the person was like, who? And then like, I repeated it. And then they were like, wait, what? And then they're like, who? And then I said like, wait, who is this? So like, it's just that, like, it was like, and it was like my son's ex-girlfriend's mom. Oh. Like, it just was like, of course. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So it's just things like that. Like, I just, my life doesn't ever get so serious that I just like, there's like this pieces of humility that the Lord just reminds me of. Like,
oh, yes.
Sweetheart. Just come back to me. So, yeah.
So I will say this, Susie. What I have appreciated, especially as watching you grow through just in your leadership and who you are as a person, is yes, that is something that continues to be, you continue to embrace and growing in humility. Because I think of back to the sandal days, right? For me to now, it's a completely different, and it's for the better. I think it's great. So
yeah,
I think it's funny that you could see those little things as points of growth. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thanks.
All right. How do you say it? GIFs or GIFs?
So my last name is Jenin.
Uh-huh.
And
with a G.
People with a G, correct. And people will say Genin, but it's Jenin. But I say GIF, not GIF. So I don't know.
You are correct.
I was trying to like think of the core. That's... It is. Is it GIF?
I don't know. Yes. I don't know if there's a definitive, because I've done it interchangeably and I realized it.
Graphic.
Oh, all right. I had to.
Why do you have to be all? Yeah,
I say you had to be nerdy about it. All right, that's fine. So
I mean,
you're
just
fine having the argument.
So from now on, I will call it GIF. So do you?
Well,
do you
GIF just seems weird. Like, hey, I'm going to send you a GIF.
Not some peanut butter.
GIF just. Yeah.
Fair, and that's fair. That's fair. I grew up with GIF. GIF. Yeah.
GIF,
okay.
GIF is it.
So what do you use more often than emojis or the animated GIFs?
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right.
Everything. I communicate with like the like reactions on it. Like, you know, you can like heart, exclamation mark, question mark. I will do that. And you don't want to. I love texting. Like, I genuinely do. because I probably love talking. That's why I love texting. So like to have like a way to communicate beyond just words makes me so happy. And if I find the right GIF, like it just also makes me the happiest. So,
okay. So what do you have like a favorite one that like you go back to the animated, like, cause no. I find, okay, perfect example. I find the one with Leonardo DiCaprio holding up the Great Gatsby.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That,
I feel like that's such an interchangeable, I can use it, you know, in a good way. I can use it sarcastically. I can use it, you know, it has multi-use. So you don't have one of those?
I try not to reuse ones that I feel like everyone else uses.
Oh, you're one of those.
So now
okay.
That one will be like off my list now, Chad.
Great. We're not even into the interview yet, and she's already gotten me. This is fantastic. All right, let's round this out. What do you find exciting, or maybe you're looking forward to coming up?
Like literally or
Yeah, I mean, like you're hoping for. Yeah, sure. All the above.
Well, what's good? Here's a kind of a big year for us. So our oldest is graduating from high school.
That is big.
So I not that I'm looking forward to him graduating. It's just like a really big year for us. So there's that that I am just embracing and trying to be present for. And then my daughter is, she's been traveling and doing some traveling with lacrosse and stuff. And so looking forward to traveling with her this summer, because I get the majority of the, if there's like three or four trips, I'm usually probably three of the four or whatever. So I've really enjoyed that. And then, yeah, I really look forward to hanging out with my kids. They're all three of them are pretty phenomenal. And so, yeah. And then like, so those are like the literal things. And then there are some things that I'm looking forward to. I feel, and I don't know that this transitions in well or not, but
try us.
I really think that like, so my kid, like 18, like the young kids, I never get the like, era, what are they called? Like millennials, Gen Xers. Like I can never
remember.
They're
Gen Z. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can never remember that phrase in which they are. But I would just say there's just like a lot of young kids who are hungry for the Lord and hungry for truth. Like seriously, I feel like, I mean, I've done youth ministry. I was in youth ministry. I worked with young people. And more than ever, I think right now, I have had so many questions about so many things that I'm like, wait, what? And so I just know that kids are hungry for the truth. And there's so much counterfeit out there that I think kids are just looking. And so that's what I'm genuinely looking for, forward to, is just like my part in it. And whether it's like one kid, five kids, I'm not even doing youth ministry right now, but I love going to the high school. I love going. My husband is one of the freshman football coaches.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, cool.
Yeah. He got brought on last year. So he got to coach with our youngest and who was a freshman. So all three of my kids are in high school right now. This is like the year we've all waited for all of our life was this year where all three of them would be together. And so, yeah, we just seeing kids who are hungry. And so I love going to sports games, sitting on the sidelines. Like it's like I usually sit more by myself, like in kind of like zoned in. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. Those are some things I'm looking forward to.
Susie, you said more than ever before. Why do you think that is? Because I'm working with our youth right now too. Like every Wednesday night, I'm hanging out with teenagers, and I'm seeing some of that too. And I just love your opinion on why you think that's happening.
That's good.
So I believe that, like before I got. Or maybe I was pregnant with my first child. I don't, somewhere in that time frame, I just had this sense that like my kids would usher in the second coming of Jesus. Like,
oh, wow.
Like I, whether it was in their adult years, whether like whatever it is. So I'm not like trying to swing into end times, but I have always sensed that like from the beginning of time that they would see and they would usher that in. And so I just think the Lord is getting his bridegroom ready. And that includes our young people. And so whatever that looks like, I've never, like, I'm even getting like goosebumps right now just talking about it, because yeah. I have kids who have, like my daughter's friends who ask questions about like speaking in tongues, casting out demons. What is an exorcism? Like, what have we seen? Like, literally she's asking me these questions. Like, I remember one day I was like, we'd driven to Delaware and like, I'd been driving and like, my hair was crazy. I was exhausted. And she's just like, Mom, they want to know this. And then she just started like recording me. And I just awkwardly laughed, because that's what I do when I don't know what to do. I just start laughing. But they're just hungry. And I think it's the preparation of the bridegroom, in my opinion.
How, I'm curious, just, well, I'm going to cut you off, Dustin, but like, how has that affected, you said it was when you were early on pregnant, and I know you guys were kind of a little bit brand new into ministry. How did that then maybe affect how you've approached ministry even from that early on?
Like with my kids?
Yeah, or kids, but even beyond that. How does that expand from there?
I felt like, I mean, I feel like there's always been a focus, and Jay and I were talking about this recently, about we've just always been drawn to young people. Like, we just have. It's just what it's been. And so I think I was more aware of it in my own kids, maybe because I feel like it's my responsibility as a parent to steward and lay the foundation. And not that in church or those other places, it's not that my place. It just, my three or our three are like our first ministry. And so I think early on, I've been very intentional about trying to be someone who can be part of someone's village, but then also creating a very intentional village for my kids so that they know if like we are someone they feel like they can't talk to or they have questions, like that they know that there's people who are rooting for them, who love them, who are praying for them. And so then I too then also want to be that person. And so I pray for my kids' friends. I pray for kids who don't even like come to church or like something I would do sometimes at games is I would just, as like a kid would be up to bat, I'd just be praying for them. Like, Lord, would you reveal yourself to them when they come to know you? Like that was just like a marker. It also helped my competitive piece like stay like
during that's games. Real. Yeah. That's good. Keep that in mind.
So sometimes I would like have to just put myself in this place of just focusing on these kids. And I don't know what anyone else's experiences are in terms of their access to their kids' friends. We've just been very blessed to have relationship with our kids' friends. And so I think that just being intentional about that, creating a space in our home, our heart was always that our home would be a place of peace, that people would come and feel the presence of God, even if they didn't know that that was what their presence was. And so just making space for people and for questions. It's a heart, like, it sounds great, but it costs you something. It has cost me quite a bit. But I don't know. Does that kind of answer the question?
Absolutely. Yeah. Brenton, you sounded like you were going to say something.
No,
just kidding. We'll edit that out. Yeah. She's trying to natural. No, I really appreciate that because it more than just having a heart, you actually put some practical legs on that. And even just as simple as, you know, I don't know how many times even myself, I underestimate the power of prayer and just the small, even if they don't even know that I'm doing it. I think I really appreciate that. We haven't actually asked you this cause and normally we would start with, you know, give us your definition of ministry. I think we still will, but you have a pretty non-traditional, journey. Let's say it that way for ministry. Can you just give us, for those maybe who don't know, how your ministry journey began and maybe how you've even found yourself where you are now and how that's, I mean, we'll talk about how that has evolved in you, but give us kind of the history of where it began and where it is now.
So as a little kid, so I came to the Lord when I was like 4 or 5. And I was always just hungry for the Lord. Like, just was. I was very, I say this because I don't necessarily think this is me now at all. I mean, it is. There are portions of this, but you'll hear, if you know me, this will make sense. Okay. When I was younger, I was very sweet and tender and easily moved by emotion. I would see, like, I remember we would see people on the side, like, because I grew up in El Monte, but like Los Angeles area. Who knows where El Monte is? I mean, Chad, you know where El Monte is.
Yeah, and that's what beat the sweet tender out of you. Yeah. So, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway, keep going.
But I would see people like asking for money or wanting food. We didn't grow up with a lot, but I would like always try to give them food. Or my mom always very much lived by example, or she would give someone her last money and just trust God. And so at a very young age, I knew that I would, and my mom wasn't a pastor or anything, that I would work for Jesus. That was kind of the language I would use. Over time, I started to put definition to it, especially in my young, like my like early 20s. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be a pastor, as if like that is like the pinnacle of something. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned, and as I've kind of like pulled back a little bit, was I started putting myself in a box that maybe the Lord didn't ask me to. Mm. And he reminded me of that, of like, remember when you said you'd work for me? And so I think that that's where things are evolving even now, in places I find myself is, Lord, I just want to be where you would have me to be. I just want to move where you'd have me to move. And so if it is at the church being like co-pastoring with Jay, awesome. If it's not, awesome. I never want to hold on to a title or a role because that's just what I know to do. Because I know that I've boxed myself in most definitely. So that's kind of like where I knew, like at a very young age. I think I like my youth group let me teach at like eighth grade. In eighth grade, I remember I talked about like the influence and impact of music that it has on our heart, which is something that I always still wrestle with now.
Yeah.
You know,
she missed our whole audio.
That's true. I wish we had been hitting record on that. Anyway, keep going, Susie. Sorry.
No. So there's just things I think that the Lord has put in my, I mean, it says he formed us in our mother's womb, right? He knit us together. And so with the intention and purpose from the beginning, there's things, if we look at all of our lives, you can see how he's weaved us in a way, that our heart would beat for him in a certain capacity, in a certain way. But I think it's like we ourselves box it in because society tells us, and we'll talk about this. I'm excited to talk about what success looks like. But society and like church culture, right?
Yeah.
How are you successful? What does your ministry look like? What role are you doing? And like all of these things matter. So when people are like, oh, you're the pastor's wife. I'm like, yeah. Like, I don't, like, it's never like, who cares? Like, pastor or not, like, I don't determine that for someone. I serve in that function and in that role, but it's not who I am. And the reality is, yes, I am also the pastor's wife. So I don't have to be in a tizzy that someone called me the pastor's wife, because that is completely accurate and true. And so as I've gotten older, I've been, I just realized, like, I don't know that this is my word for the year, but it keeps coming back to just, I've realized the sacredness of walking in obedience to the Lord. And I have devalued it so many times by trying to put it in a box and define it for other people. So, yeah.
No, that's really good. I know that's right up Dustin's alley. I thought he was about to say something about that. Except he muted himself. So maybe. Uh-oh. You're muted.
You're still muted.
You're still muted. You're still muted, Dustin. I don't know.
Sorry.
Technology is hard. Keep going.
It is. These buttons are super confusing.
There's just one big one.
This is literally one button on this mic. We all three have the same mic. We all three have the same one. There's one button. Anyway, keep going.
Let's just skip to what you, because I think it goes well with what you've been saying about your idea of like boxing and ministry and all that. I think a lot of us who've been in ministry do the same thing because we're all similar in age. Similar in probably how we were brought up in the church as far as what our idea of ministry and things like that is. So could you go ahead and let's just talk about what you think the success is.
Yeah, that's good.
What that looks like in the church.
And maybe how it's even shifted from when you were boxing yourself, like you said, or, you know, what was given to you.
So I was like, you know, I think back, it must have been in my 30s that we were directing camp. And first of all, I'm like, how the heck did we even do that? Like we in my 30s, I was so full of energy and maybe momentum and
pixie
energy.
Sticks. They were pixie sticks.
It was pixie sticks and Red Bulls.
There was one time I need to sidebar you. I just remember you had this crazed look, like eye twitch while you're meeting with me. I'm like, what is going on? Oh, I just ate one of those giant pixie sticks.
Here's the thing is nice. I love sugar. I love pixie sticks. I love like. Love sugar.
So you had a lot of energy and a lot of sugar.
And pixie sticks and Red Bulls and iced coffees and all of those things. But I always think back, like, how did I do that? And it was for that time, for that season. So like that, I mean, we were up until like, you were always in bed by like 11, but that's neither here nor there, Chad.
Yeah. It was also week 8 for me, but keep going. Yeah.
But you know, we would be up until like 2 or 3 and then like get up at like 7 to 9, like depending on what role or what we had to do. So, there was just like this eagerness, but what I didn't realize was I think also a lot of the drive was performance.
Yeah.
I know there is beautiful, genuine things that happened at camp. I'm going to just like talk about camp specifically, or even just in ministry. I know there have been genuine, beautiful things that have happened, hands down. Like to say anything other would be like almost blasphemy, because I have seen the Lord move mightily, both in church context and in like large context and stuff. That being said, there was also this place that this drive that labels and roles mattered. Hmm. And there is an honor and a reverence for people who choose to serve the Lord and who are pastors and teachers and preachers and apostles and like missionaries. Like there is an honor and a reverence that is that is absolutely true. The problem is, you know, and something that I've really wrestled with, especially like, is in scripture, it talks about like not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And then if you are basically like, there's all this pomp and circumstance. Now, this is like literally me just putting this all together, right? But I think we're familiar in the Gospels. Jesus is saying like, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And like, if you're bringing attention to it, like that is your reward. And I think for so many times I was looking for the reward of people instead of the reward of like just honoring my Father. Hmm. And as I've gotten older, as I've gotten older, I just realized the sacredness to be invited into these spaces and places. Hmm. That to be a pastor, to shepherd people is sacred. It's wow. not to be platformed. That that these titles and roles are not like man gives those roles. Man wants to know those things. When I have to qualify myself, now don't get me wrong. Like the Lord says, like he will turn the hearts of kings and men to us. He'll put us in, you know, like in the gates of like, so the Lord is not like worried. That's not the problem. The problem is my condition of my heart. Yeah. And I think in my young 20s and 30s, I realized in my 30s, I knew nothing in my 20s. And then, boy, did I really know that I thought I knew something in my 30s, but I've been maybe getting it wrong in my 30s. And like, thank God for the goodness and mercy of God. Like, thank God for that. Yes. Thank God for his forgiveness, for the way he gently, like it says, he like corrects those he loves, that all of those things are not like, he's not in competition with me with, right? Like I'm just, so I say all that to say, like, what does success look like? It's obedience to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And like, that's it. Like how I want more than anything for my kids to walk in obedience to the Lord. And because if we're just looking to walk in obedience to the Lord and honor him, even if we're getting it wrong, our heart is still pure before him. And there's a humility. And so I struggle. When we do stuff at church, I really struggle with how it should be platformed on social media. Like we have literally, I think at this point, like David, he's one of our associate pastors. And he kind of oversees our social media, kind of like we all kind of do.
Right.
But we just kind of landed at this place of like, what's even the point? Like, who are we trying to communicate and what are we trying to communicate? Am I trying to communicate so that people see? But then like, is that my reward? Like a like, a heart? Like,
I mean, it will be.
Right. Like I'm sacrificing time with my family, my kids for this. And so I'm not anywhere near it, like near having an answer. I just know success is saying, like, was I obedient to what the Lord asked me to do? And even if it didn't look like the way I thought it was going to look, I had someone once tell me, oh my gosh, and they meant it in the like most purest way. I was not like offended, but we had this conversation there. They said, when you and Jay became senior pastors, I thought the church would like explode, like, and just grow. And I was like, yeah, me too. Like, you and me both. And so I've had to wrestle through that for the last 8 years, that it's not looked like we thought it was going to look. But does that mean it's not successful?
Hmm.
I don't know. Have I felt like Jay and I have chosen to honor and walk in obedience with the Lord? Absolutely. So I just need to continue to trust him. And sometimes I think I probably have also not been ready. My own heart, my own place, my own pride has probably also deterred some things. Like, let's just be honest, right? Yeah. Like if things might have grown the way that we all thought they would. Would I still have this understanding of the sacredness of shepherding people, the sacredness of being invited into people's lives, the sacredness? Like I recently said to actually our friend Shane, I said, I never want to sacrifice the sacred for the platform.
Yeah.
And he was good. Like, I'm holding you to that. It's like, and so now I'm saying it here.
And it's recorded. So
yeah, it is. It is. I've spoken at things before. I've done some things. There's a few things that I've got to enjoy. Mm-hmm. But I just find myself protecting more and more those experiences. That I can, in the conversation with our kids or our families, or like in conversation, that's a whole different story. In relationship, it's a whole different story. But I wrestle through social media all the time, like all the time, both personally and also for our church. So I'm still wrestling through, but my ultimate, because there's plenty of times that I have not walked in obedience and I would then say I wasn't successful. Like I had, like, you know, there was recently, I just shared this at church, that I was having coffee with someone. It was great. I said something encouraging, and then I just felt in my spirit, like, pray that over them. And then I'm like,
And how did that go?
So then we finished our conversation and they like got back in line. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, and then I was like, well, maybe we're not parked the same spot. And then I was like, oh, all right, see you later. And then like I walked out and got in the car and I was like, pray for them. And I'm like, oh, well, like now it's just going to be awkward if I go back. And then like as I was sitting there in the car about to reverse, they're walking to their car. And then I just watched them walk to their car. And then we left. So if my church grows, but I'm not willing to step out in faith to pray for this person.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, does, you know? So
well,
that's how that went.
Thank you for being, well, vulnerable with that. Because I think that's a... I actually even recently told our church in the last couple of weeks, one of the things during my church planning days that I have, in now looking back, been able to, I believe, actually hindered maybe some of the growth like you were talking about got in the way was my own pride. And it was the same type of thought that you had of, I actually, without saying it, went out to start in some ways, I think, mixture of holy discontent and also, I'm going to start the church that actually gets it right. That does it right, and how that worked against me for so long in a lot of ways. And so to have the self-awareness now to say these little things that I'm not even willing to take the steps on, that's what's holding me back from actually potentially even experiencing even the more and the sacredness, as you said. I love that word of the shepherding. That's huge.
Yeah. You know, I once had someone who similarly had, because I've worked with young adults, for a period of time. Some of it, I don't even remember. Apparently we had someone live with us and I was like, they did not live with us. And Jay was like, yes, they did. And so I had to call another former like intern and I was like, hey, did this person live with us? And they're like, yes, Susie. I like that was that time period. And okay. There's probably a lot of reasons why I don't remember some of those pieces. But I remember someone, one of our interns had talked about, they were bashing the church. And I was like, got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bride of Christ.
That's right.
Like they, and I think that we have, in all of our knowledge that we know, all of the buzzwords we have, all of the like programming, education. And again, I'm not necessarily dissing it. But we do need to be careful because we can, that's what we see in scripture, that Jesus was right in front of them. And they were like, okay, but you don't quite line up to who we think that Jesus is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so I remember telling them, like, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Like, it's his bride. Yeah. It's his, yeah. Like, say what you want about me, but say something about Jay. Or my kids, and like my earrings are coming off, my hair is going up, like it is,
the
like it's going down.
Coming out.
Right, like we are, like there's sacred people that are just off limits, and yeah. You as a like person, your opinion, like you've just crossed the line, and so
that's good.
I think that as we've but we see it. Like we read in scripture, he talks about like people will like walk away because like they'll find things that are satisfy their itching ears. And so we just, I think the Lord is doing a work, but we need to be careful because if our heart's not in the right place, it's still his bride. It's still the avenue in which he chooses to reveal himself through, one of the avenues he chooses to reveal himself through. And so, I just have a lot of thoughts because I'm like, at the end of the day, we're still his bride.
That's right.
We're still his, yeah. So
that's good. I want to segue just a little bit, but also kind of bridge with a question we have not asked yet. And I think you've pulled out some of this with, especially love the sacredness of shepherding, but how does that, and maybe it does, or maybe it goes in a different direction. When you define, when somebody asks you what ministry is, how does that go with what you've already told us or go in a different direction, maybe even?
So I was thinking about this question, like, how do you define ministry? And the scripture that kept coming back to mind is in Ephesians 4, where he's talking that some are prophets, some are apostles, some are preachers, teachers, and mm-hmm. evangelists.
Yeah.
And then he says that they're there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And then it goes on to say in there, basically that we move as ministers from immaturity to maturity so that we're not moved by like the doctrine of the world and all that, or you know, what's infiltrated by the world, but that we, so ministry is intended, so we all are ministers, like every single person, my kids are ministers, your kids are ministers, we're part of being like the ministry of reconciliation. That's the point, that we are to help people be reconciled with the Savior who died for them, who's interceding for them in heaven.
Preach.
And like, we get to be a part of that. Yeah,
yeah.
Because that's what it is. That's what
right.
ministry is supposed to be. It's not
right.
supposed to be I'm gonna be really honest, so a couple weeks ago I taught and I just felt off. I just was off, and we had three visitors. And none of them came back the next week. Yeah.
And it was your fault.
And I was like, this is my fault.
That's
this
it.
Is my exactly. fault. Because one of the visitors had this, that was their second week.
Yeah.
They had been there and they had chosen to come back a second week. And then the Lord corrected me. Like, this isn't about you.
Right.
Yeah. It's good. That's good.
So I say all that to say that so many times we make it about us, but it's about people being reconciled into relationship with Jesus. That's what ministry is about. And I get to be a part of it. And then in part, ministry is like, okay, so even though I would consider myself like a preacher and a teacher, or I consider myself like there's gifting of the prophetic that I can sometimes move in.
Yep.
I am still a minister that needs to be equipped for the ministry. And I too need to be maturing in my thoughts and in how I function and move. So those are some thoughts in regards to like sort of that I'm working out ministry.
Great thoughts. Yeah. Dustin has muted himself.
He's
again.
Talking away though. Like we see your lips moving.
I push the button.
This is a
and it doesn't go
this
off.
This is like in training. We're actually training him as we're.
Got it.
This is how you do a podcast. Go ahead.
Susie, you guys have done a lot with like youth and leaders and this developing those type of things. How does now your opinion and perspective on ministry, on success, how is that now factoring into how you develop leaders in your local context?
We stopped for a little bit.
Pause.
All right. Hit the stop button. Okay. Mute.
I meant like young people. Yeah. When we became senior pastors, we paused.
Yeah.
So I want to say that I think that some of it is there was a lot of stupid things I said. Like, I'm just going to be real. And AJ, who's on here, who's editing, like, or producing, like, he knows. He's been on probably the receiving end of many stupid things I have said.
I have, working with him here, I've had to undo some of that. So
yes, I'm sure there is.
I'm just kidding. You set him up well. No. Keep going.
But it wore us out. And yeah. I think part of the reason why we've needed to recalibrate a little bit, was because I think we just would have done things really different. We would have done things really, really different.
Yeah.
I also would have been, if I was older, you know, I would do things different now. So I think Jay and I are just kind of restarting that conversation of what does it look like? Are we like to intentionally invest in young people who are wanting to be in ministry, but then also to just what is like discipleship even look like in a church context? Like, how do you go actually make a disciple? Because the way I was making disciples back in my 30s was they were with us often. We didn't have a church building. So our church offices were my father-in-law's house and our home. So they were always with us. They were with us at sports events. This is how I discipled. They went with us to sports events. They were at our kids' birthday parties. And we wanted them there. There were plenty of times where we were planning stuff where Jay and I would have to excuse ourselves and have an argument in the bedroom and then come back and be like a united front, because leading with your husband, Jay and I have done ministry together for so long. And so much of my own pride and immaturity would just like rise up in trying to lead with him and trying to like prove something. I don't know. There was air quotes when I said prove.
No, that's
But so I think that we've not quite like refigured it out. But it was a good run, but it took a lot out of us because of how we chose to disciple. We were raising kids while raising teens and also just being like, hey, you're working through like 18 to 22 is like a rough time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I would say even now, like I remember like kids freshman or sophomore year, they're like, Susie, like one of my kids' son's friends was like, my parents are like just putting so much pressure on where I need to go and what do I need to do. Like our kids these days feel so much pressure. And so I think that with the hunger that we're seeing with young kids, I'm asking the question, Jay and I are asking the question, what does that look like in our context now? Because we're not very fun these days. Yeah. Like people would just like come live life with us. And then we'd be like, we're going to watch Bachelor.
I remember that years ago you were talking about like you have your youth and your disciples that they're learning and they were at your house and you would just be having them do laundry with you just in life skills. And we had some teens living with us at about the same time, and I was like, this is where it's at. This is all, let's teach them what they need to know in general, and they'll see life happen around us. And that was helpful for me during that season because it was affirming kind of where we were at. But as I've gotten older as well, and I'm raising, you know, I have a teenager and some kids that are younger now, and that shifts kind of as our ages, as we shift in age and we mature ourselves. I see the way that we disciple shift as well.
So you both said that I'm curious then, because you said you'd probably do things differently, and we had an ELN program around the same time you guys did, and I often look to Madison to, am I doing this right? And oh my gosh, I don't think I am. And it was a contact sport. You're right. I mean, it is rough. So what would you do differently if you've had to take a step back and you're looking at it like?
Well, you know, I laugh now. I shouldn't laugh. I've apologized to a few, like interns, like I've called and apologized. So I would have trusted myself more. That's number one, or trusted the Lord, but the Holy Spirit inside me more. So there was one person who called, I remember, answered the phone, and they asked for Jay, and they were very like, forceful is not the right word, that's like too overtly like, but they were just very much, they were like name dropping, like I'm, you know, applying for ELN and like this is my reference. And I was like, okay, like I don't name drop, like I barely even say my own last name, like when I go places I name drop with my oldest sister Cindy. Like I will gladly, if I'm someone like, oh hi, I'm Cindy Galley's little sister, like to this day, like I'm 42 and I still call myself Cindy Galley's little sister. I don't mind name dropping there. And I name dropped when I went to Life, I was like not doing well in a class, and I knew my professor was really good friends with my friend's family. Like those are the only two times that I really remember name dropping, because I was like, I need some help in class here.
Good confessional moment. Good.
Yes. But I don't. So I very rarely even use my last name. Like I maybe should just be like, Cher, just call me Susie, because I for lots of reasons. But this person was kind of name dropping in the way they were this call.
Okay.
I was like, oh, okay. So then we interviewed with the person, and they were clearly smarter than me, like genuinely clearly smarter than me. Like, I'm street smart. I'm what you want on the streets. I'm not who you want in the library. Like, that's just like the way that this goes. Okay. So, I was like, this person's clearly smarter than me. And at the end, I had said, I don't think that I can mentor this person. And everyone was like, no, you'll do fine. You'll do fine. And I was like, no. And there was a few other times, but this one really came to bite me in the butt. It brought out the most, like, the worst in me, I think. I led from places of insecurity because I should have just said no. I should have said, no, this is not going to work at all. So I would have spoken up more. I think that would have been it, because there was just a level of, when you're living that close with people and you're in the context in the way that we were discipling, there's a level of teachability. I don't need you to criticize the way I receive a gift from my husband. Like, he knows and Chad, like, you've been there before when Jay's maybe given me a gift and I'm like, oh, thanks. Like, I can be the living worst sometimes. Like, but I don't need this young kid criticizing that. I just need to be thankful. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, it just was bad. It was bad. And it really did. So I regret not sticking to that. So I would trust the Lord more. I would probably spend more time with them in prayer, teaching them how to intercede and get in the, like, secret place with me in those, like, those spaces, because that's what we need these days. I think my puppy is, like, scratching at the door.
Oh, nice.
Anyways.
That stays in the interview. That's staying in.
I thought I saw him howling. I thought I heard him howling. Yeah. Anyways. So I just would have done, I would have called people more to Jesus than myself.
Yeah.
I think, and there was lots of practical things.
That's
that
good.
That we learned. Yes, if there were certain things that they didn't do, they did get chicken duty. They had to come and clean my chicken coop, mostly because I hated cleaning my chicken coop.
I'm laughing because AJ's nodding his head right now.
Yes. and I would get up early and they'd come early. I don't even remember. So some of those things that we'd done, we wouldn't do. But yeah,
so
I think that those would be.
Are you saying you wouldn't do chicken duty again?
I would not do chicken.
Okay, I have chickens, so
I'm just, AJ now has his mouth wide open.
I was like, keeping that, like, in the back of my head. No, maybe not.
No, but there was something to, like, them getting up early in the morning, mm-hmm. and I had one intern who loved to get up early in the morning, and it just never was, like, it was never a problem. Like, I'm like, this is supposed to be, like, you're supposed to, okay, whatever. So, But I think we did do well. So a lot of our ELN, our interns actually stayed with us. But I want to say that we never asked them to stay. At the end of their 2 years, we always said, you need to get before the Lord. You need to pray. And we will support you wherever you go.
Yeah,
I will say that we did do that well. That, there's a lot of things, but that we did well is that we, a lot of our team is with us because they sense that the Lord was calling them here. And then we married people off. That was also really great. We had, like, three weddings from, I think that's something. So
I think you guys have done it well. And I'm not saying, I think you agree. I don't think there is a perfect way to do it. And I think, as you even said, you learn as you are investing and pouring into others, especially young leaders. I remember a couple of years ago, there was something, and it was a moment where I definitely needed to show grace and lead with mercy with a young leader. And I was just kind of by myself. And I'm just like, man, young leaders. I was like, it's a good thing I was never one of those right? Like, it's just like, okay, so I'm having to learn in this as well. And I want to point back to, too, Susie, this goes back to just what we have been able to see, having known you as long as we have, of the growth and the humility, because a lot of what you're talking about, if the leader is not humble and not able to own their own stuff and even go back and apologize, because I've had to do that as well, then it's not going to matter. It will be building your kingdom as well. And so if we're going to tie back to that full circle success, and are you doing it and being successful? And I would say, from my perspective, yes. Does it look like maybe everything else or what you thought it would? Maybe not. But at the same time, just to hear you say what you're saying, I think that's successful. So thank you.
Oh, thanks, Chad.
You're welcome. Oh, we're gonna have a hug.
I don't like compliments. I'm like, get out of here. Like, I can't duck out.
Oh no, I'm so sorry. There's no escape.
I think about my wife and ministering with me and how all of that looks. What would you say is your biggest challenge, not in ministry, but being a mom and a spouse right now?
Yeah, no one ever talks about that. So it's something that comes up often in our home because we both, sorry, let me just put my device back on. Do not disturb, because it came out of it. So Jay and I can both have a full day at work, like same day. Maybe different things. It's going to look different. But he comes home and then like he can rest. I come home and like, has dinner been made? and we really do partner well. Cooking is not like, it really stresses him out, and he is always more than willing, but it's never, and it's not a diss. It's just never on his thought process of things to do.
Yeah.
Same. So I think that has been one of the biggest struggles. I think so. If I could go back, I probably would focus more on being mom than being in ministry. Like if I could, hands down, with there was just things I know that I miss, and some of it, I would not call myself a perfectionist, but some people tend to think that I kind of am. Like I'll say things and they like give me this look and I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not a perfectionist. But there is probably a level to perfection of, I just want to get it right. Just want to get it right out of, like, if I don't have to make a mistake, I don't want to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. But I know that with my kids, like I said, my kids are 18, 16, and almost 16, 15. Oh, 15. Yeah. So if I could have, I remember, so you guys had Kimberly Dameron on a few months ago, mentor, friend, Pat, like she's one of my pastors.
That's a name drop, but keep going.
I was just going to say that.
Like, okay, okay.
And the only reason I could say that is just because I love you and I would never do that to any other guest. You would keep going.
I mean, like, can I text her? Yeah, I can totally text her.
Yeah.
Me and Kim's. I don't mind. But I want to say this because she knows me.
Oh, did we lose her? Free. She name dropped and then she cut out.
You just,
there it
everyone
is.
Froze.
Yeah, there we go.
There you are. There you go.
So no one got my name dropped. Just kidding.
Oh no, we got it. Keep going.
No, but I say this because you were on. She was on your podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, whatever. Okay.
And she's a friend of mine as well, so it's totally fine.
Yeah, she is. So, so I was pregnant with my youngest Isaac, and we were at this women's retreat, and I remember this like zeal. I've always had this like zeal just for Jesus. And I was like, I don't care if I have to be like, I don't remember the context. I just remember being like, if I have to preach and have him on my, like on my hip, I'm going to do it. And she just gently, kindly, so sweetly was just like, everything, there's a season. And I wish I would have listened and kept that at the forefront, because I would have done a lot of things different as mom, especially in their young age. And so now I've really, even though they're, you know, like older, I've really made it an effort that I am home when they're home, and I do my best to make dinner so that there's food, and granted that gets a little tricky sometimes because they're very active in sports, so even last night dinner was coming out of the oven at 7:45.
Yeah.
Like I was like here it is, but I really am, and I'm not getting it, I'm not batting 100 or batting 500. Maybe I'm batting 500. That's the term, right?
So it's half. Batting 1,000. Yeah.
Batting 1,000.
500
right. So
is not
probably
bad
at about
either,
500.
Though,
yeah. I'm probably at about a 500. I knew there was something.
500
like,
still great.
Like
keep
nothing.
Going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really have just slowed down with being places that I don't need to be. Like, so I'm not really traveling. There is traveling that I am doing with Samantha. But when it comes to ministry, I've just chosen to slow down a little bit, just to be present as mom. And I have not made lunch. Okay. This is a big complaint, because I've not made lunch all this school year. But that has to do with just the wearing of it, because I up to this year had would make lunch almost every day for them and put little notes in there. My sister did that for me and I loved it. So it's like something I enjoy doing for the kids. Oh, okay. I love, again, feeding people is how I express my love towards someone.
It's good.
So I think as a mom, I've really tried to slow down and just be present with them and invest. I'm really big into relational equity because when I need to withdraw, when I can't be somewhere, I want them to know that I will have done everything. And if I really can't be there, it's because I really can't be there. And so I will say that when we were had interns, they helped with my relational equity because I would be like, if we had to be in different places, I'd be like, okay, you guys go watch these kids. I'm going to go watch these kids. Like we would like flip flop and all that. But as they've gotten older, I really make it a point to be present with them because I know there's time. So I also am the chaplain for our city, which kind of there's like a random variation. Like sometimes you just don't ever really know what might happen, when it might happen, or if I'm on call or if I'm not on call.
Sure.
So I really try to be present. I try to I answer my phone. The kids know that at any time, like even if they're not home, like at night, my phone is always on. I will almost always answer when they call. I will say like, this isn't probably like leadership 101. There's probably someone that's a better strategy for it. But if I'm in a meeting or something and they call, like I answer like, oh, give me a moment. Or I text, hey, what's going on? So I think as a mom, there are other stresses that are different than dads carry. And society tells us that we need to have it all. And I just think that that's robbing our families of some things. And so ministry, there always will be ministry opportunities. So if I can just learn to steward what I have, then the rest kind of falls into place. But it's hard. It's hard. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I'm like, no one told me I was going to have to cook for the rest of my life. and there's a lot of tensions. Like my husband and I, we walk through a lot of, we've been in ministry together for most of our marriage. And so learning to ebb and flow a little bit and communicate, even like this morning, I'm like, hey, our car, the kid's car is not working. And so we've been taking them to school. It's like, you got to get them this morning and, you know, whatever. So, but I really, I do my best to be mom first.
That's good. That's good. And that's good perspective. And important. We've said many times, just on this podcast, how that is, like you said, the first ministry. And if we're not getting, if we're failing at home, then we're going to be failing in ministry as well, ultimately. So,
Jess, I know you want to say something, but the other thing is trusting also in God, because I get that I am to steward it, but I also have to trust that His goodness and mercy, it says in Psalms 23, like goodness and mercy will follow me all my days. And so there are times where there are extreme imbalances and I just trust in His goodness. Like, okay, God, like, you got this. Because I want my kids more than anything to love Jesus. Like, and so I've had to like fight off the lies that the enemy comes at with me. Like, oh, they're gonna like just whatever it might be for the moment. And so that's why I think friends are so important. My friends are people that I like continually talk to, pray with me for my kids, stand with me, help me navigate the truth through the lies, help be a reflection if I'm I had one friend who's like, you have not spent any time with your husband. You're just going in with your kids. I'm like, yeah, I know, but you know, like, whatever. But so I think, yeah.
But no, that well, you, but you need that. And that's important too, to call you on your stuff. And that's good. Mm-hmm. Once again, another way you've opened yourself humbly to be able to be grown and shaped. So that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good wisdom.
Okay. One thing I do want to say, because I think I heard it on one of the podcasts and then you guys all are a little bit behind me. But I think it's important to say with the kids is that I have loved the teenage years. Don't believe what everyone tells you, like whether it's girls or boys, like there are struggles that like, don't get me wrong. There are struggles. I still don't sleep well. And I've not slept well for the last like 18 years of my life. That is fine. Yeah. But these are some of the best days, like hearing them talk and watch. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard watching them discover their relationship with Jesus for themselves. It's beautiful when you hear things and you're just like, man, like the Lord revealed that to you or, you know, but I will say like, I am with all three of my kids. I am so proud of them. They are continually teaching me. You know, I read this article. I'm going to brag on my kids for just a minute because I think it's important to do.
Go for it.
My son, Micah, he had a like mid-season injury. He dislocated his elbow in the middle of the game. And I don't even know how this article came about, but the like State Journal wrote an article on him about, it was called like Verona's Glue. And it was the most beautiful thing to read when they were describing who he was. And it wasn't his stats. Like, this goes back to success. It wasn't his stats. It was what he brings when he walks into a room that was just so moving. I was just like, ah, like, and there's, we struggle. There are struggles. There are things we're navigating through. I am like, I carry anointing oil with me. I like pray. I am like, I'm telling you, like, I know. And I just know what the potential for this generation, for our kids' generation can be. And the lie is it gets hard. They disconnect. They don't want to hug anymore. Like, all of these are lies. Yes. And maybe that's normal. Yes. Those. Yes. That's normal.
No, yes, they're lies. And data lies. Proves they, that. I'm a part of a team that's doing research right now for a number of things, but we're looking at all the data. And as teens go into those teenage years, they're still listening to their parents. They are the most influential voice in their lives, even above their friends. They're remembering. They might not always do what we ask them to do, but they are listening, and they will revert back to those things that they heard during that season of time. So don't stop.
Yes. Yeah. Don't stop. Yeah. Just keep loving them. Keep speaking truth. And I have to learn to not be offended. Like, if someone's giving me attitude, it's not about me. Like, mm-hmm. I just, whatever. Like, one of my kids rolls their eyes often and gives me side eye. I won't say which kid. And I just have learned to laugh at it. Like, okay, yes. My side eye. But I just helps like dissipate it. You know, I love watching my daughter when she's playing lacrosse. Like, she is such a leader. And this, I don't say this like brag. Like, I don't say this. She's a leader on the field. Mm-hmm. She's not like always looking to score. She's watching how the plays, and I love watching her brain work. Yeah. Like, when she's out there, I can see her figuring out and seeing the strategic moves that need to happen on the field and like getting people in place. Like, I just love that, like, more than anything. And then my sweet Isaac, my third born, like, he once told me, I asked him, like, do kids ever make fun of you? And he is like, I mean, sometimes. Like, it was just like a conversation because he's a little bit more quiet, a little bit more reserved. And I was like, well, what do you think? And he's like, well, I know it's not true. And I was like, oh, man, like, if I could just be like you, Isaac, yes, and yeah, just like when people say things, just be like, oh, I know it's not true. I know whose voice matters. So these are some of the best years that are, you guys are like all walking into. Mm-hmm. And they're hard, they're work, yeah. But it's so worth it. It's so worth I know, like, it says, like, children obey your parents and the parents don't provoke your children. Like, that's something it says in scripture.
Yeah.
I know in the morning, some of my kids are not morning people. So for me to be like, hey, how's, I mean, I'm still like happy in the morning, but me trying to like get hugs in the morning isn't going to be ideal. That provokes the kid.
Right.
Right. And then I get upset, or I could, but you know, it's like learning the nuances of your kids. So you guys are walking into some of the best times.
Praise the Lord. I receive it.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I want to
Lauren,
say.
Lauren turns 14 on Saturday.
Oh boy, we just had a 14 birthday. Yeah, we get it. Yep,
it is. It's great, and I love watching Samantha's relationship with Jay. Yeah. It wasn't until I was really older that I had a really good relationship with my dad, or the Lord restored things with my dad. So to see her with Jay is like when the Lord says that He redeems all things. Mm. Oh, it's so true. And so I love their relationship. I love their inside jokes. I love all of it, because there's something so redemptive to it for me. So, okay. That's it.
No, that's really good.
Segue out of here, Chad. Get
well, no, listen. You said you don't know how to wrap things up. I think you just did very well. You gave us some encouragement and things to be looking forward to. And so, Susie, this has been a lot of fun and also very insightful. And once again, thank you for your humility, your vulnerability. I do believe that's the stuff that's going to really resonate with the leaders who are listening to this. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Susie. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's it. She's gone. Oh my gosh. So if we could somehow keep this in, like, she said goodbye and then the entire computer fell off of her.
That's what I mean. I am the most awkward. Okay, yeah. There you go. Just in case you needed a real example.
of being humbled or humility or
or just how I'm awkward. I think I put that in my yeah, just.
You're fine.
Anyways.
That was good. That was so good. Thank you, Susie, for your time. I know you got a lot going, so thank you for doing this.
Of course. All right. See you guys.
Bye guys.
Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Wait, do I hang up?
Yeah, you can hang up. We got to finish up here. You're good.
Oh, you got to talk about me when I'm not around. Yeah. Got it.
That's right. Yeah. It's called a debrief, Susie.
Goodbye.
Wow. So, guys, A, that was fun, but B, just to know Susie, and you guys have for a while, and maybe a lot of people who are listening don't, to where she has come from to where she is now. God has just really, really shaped her in humility. And I just think that really showed through. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that the more people we're having conversations with, that you're seeing themes happening. And we're in different locations and different aspects of ministry, but you're seeing like this idea of what success is, of what humility, like those type of things keep coming back. And so to me, it's like, all right, God, like as she's saying, like you're doing something with your bride. And your Holy Spirit is moving in the same direction. And so for me, it's encouraging to hear things that are happening in different places, but God is still bringing his church back together.
Yeah. I really liked that she gave a perspective of moms. This podcast is led by four guys, you know, producing and all. So to have that perspective helps shape some of even the way that I'm going to go home and treat my wife.
Yes.
And and do quotes ministry, you know, moving forward.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and just to the other thing that really stood out to me is just that whole the sacredness of shepherding and what that looks like within all of those spaces and how it's not defined. I think that's been the one illuminating thing about doing this. And have we started this, you know, a couple of years ago now, of it doesn't have to look like what we maybe even now think it is, that it really is being present in that moment. And that's the gift. So that's good. That's good.
Absolutely. Well, I think too, Chad, sometimes we, at least I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for you guys. Sometimes I'll take it and try not to make it sacred. Cause I'm like, oh, it's just ministry. Like, right.
Oh, right.
This is what we're all supposed to be doing. And so I almost make it too common.
That's good.
And so to remember that, if we've been called to do this, then there's an anointing that comes with that. And if it's the Holy Spirit, then it is sacred. And so to not make it too common too often.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Or a nuisance, an annoyance, right? Because it's the interruptions. I've been learning the interruptions are actually part of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Well, sweet. Well, once again, we want to thank Susie for gifting us her time. If you'd like to connect further with her or with us, we've made ways to do so available in the show notes. And if you want to support the podcast, sign up for show updates. Just go to withouthatingit.com to get started. And don't forget to subscribe if this is your first time listening to Ministry Without Hating It, wherever it is that you get your podcast, so that you don't miss out on our future episode releases. Once again, thank you for listening.
It's the second time.
Oh, man.
That's the second time to this.
Oh, thank you for listening. Yeah. Brenton knocked off his camera.
Yep.
And that's how you end a show.
It just fell right off.
Next time. Amazing. That's amazing.